Good morning, I'm Pastor Gillespie from St. John Evangelical Lutheran Church and School, Sherman Center, Random Lake, Wisconsin. It's good to have you with us here today for the Congregation of Prayer, a guide for daily meditation and prayer for our congregation and all those who wish to join us. Each day we pray through God's Word, we do some catechesis, we confess a memory verse, we pray a psalm, we sing a hymn, and we pray for our congregation and for all those in need. All right, so we do that each day. And you can do it here with us, or you can do it on your own using the half sheet that's put in the bulletin each Sunday. All right? Good. Did I tell you what day it is? It's Monday, June 27th, 2022. Let's begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. All right, our psalm this week is Psalm 119 now, beginning verse 65, so Tate and Yod. We pray. You have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe in your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. The insolent smear me with lies, but with my whole heart I keep your precepts. Their heart is unfeeling like fat, but I delight in your law. It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. Your hands have made and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. Those who fear you shall see me and rejoice, because I have hoped in your word. I know, O Lord, that your just decrees are righteous, and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. Let your steadfast love comfort me according to your promise to your servant. Let your mercy come to me that I may live, for your law is my delight. Let the insolent be put to shame, because they have wronged me with falsehood. As for me, I will meditate on your precepts. Let those who fear you turn to me, that they may know your testimonies. May my heart be blameless in your statutes, that I may not be put to shame. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The first reading today is from the prophet Zephaniah, chapter 3. Woe to her who is rebellious and polluted, to the oppressing city. She has not obeyed his voice, she has not received correction, she has not trusted in the Lord, she has not drawn near to her God. Her princes in her midst are roaring lions. Her judges are evening wolves that leave not a bone till morning. Her prophets are insolent, treacherous people. Her priests have polluted the sanctuary. They have done violence to the law. The Lord is righteous in her midst. He will do no unrighteousness. Every morning he brings justice to light. He never fails. But the unjust knows no shame. I have cut off nations. Their fortresses are devastated. I have made their streets desolate, with none passing by. Their cities are destroyed. There is no one, no inhabitant. I said, surely you will fear me. You will receive instruction, so that her dwelling would not be cut off, despite everything for which I punished her. But they rose early and corrupted all their deeds. All right. So we're reading through a lot of the Book of the Twelve, the Minor Prophets. And we're hearing some pretty harsh words, right? The Lord does great things for them, and yet what do they do in response? Corruption. All right. Our reading for catechesis today is the sending of the 70 from Luke chapter 10. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Then he said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. carry neither money bag and knapsack nor sandals and greet no one along the road. But whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things as they give. For the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whatever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick there, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. But whatever city you enter, and they do not receive you, go out into its streets and say, the very dust of your city which clings to us we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near you. But I say to you that it will be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to Hades. He who hears you hears me, and he who rejects you rejects me, and he who rejects me rejects him who sent me. All right, let's do some catechesis here. So how many did Jesus appoint? There's actually two possible readings. Here you see 70 in New King James. I think in others it says 72. It's not actually relevant. The fact is that they sent out two by two. So either 35 pairs or 36 pairs, right? Two by two. To which cities and towns were they sent? Notice they go out in front of Jesus. They go to the places where he himself was about to go. So they go out, in a sense, like John the Baptist, right? To prepare the way. And how? Well, by the harvest. What's the harvest? The harvest he's referring to is the judgment day, right? Those who will be raised up through the seed, that is the preaching of the gospel. So their job is to go and preach the gospel, and the Lord will gather the harvest, right? Jesus will follow them to harvest what they had planted. Make sense? All right. Who are the workers? Well, that's them, right? The 72. Namely, more specifically, you think of the way that Paul uses this language in 1 Timothy 5. So you might know that one. Let's see if I can find that quick. 5, there we go. Let the elders who rule be counted worthy of double honor, especially those, here we are, who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain, and the laborer is worthy of his wages. All right? So the labor of word and doctrine, that's another name for pastor. Now, Paul does something similar in 2 Timothy 2, I believe. Yeah, here it is. Remind them of all these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, Paul says in Romans. Right. So these are the pastors and the elders. But why are they then like lambs among wolves? You know, all these mixing of metaphors Jesus does. He likes to do this, as I do too. Some of us do. Jesus is the lamb, right, who was devoured by false teachers. And so false teachers are always trying to devour those who are in Jesus, right? His fellow lambs, the preachers of the gospel. As we saw with the sending of the 12, so now with the 70, why are they not to take a purse, a bag, or sandals? Now, their job is to depend on Christ to care for their needs. You might call this a leap of faith, right? But why weren't they to greet people on the road? That's an interesting thing. Whatever said here, what does it say? Where does this talk about the road? Yeah, don't go from house to house, receive, right? Oh, yeah, do not go into the streets of the city and say, right? That would be to speak to people along the way is to be sidetracked. But instead, they're supposed to devote all their energy to the preaching of the gospel on the way to Jerusalem, just as Jesus had set his face in that direction. All right. How did they greet a household? What words do they say to it? Peace to this house, right? And then who is a man of peace? One who is a believer, right? So peace is a household of believers. Those who are men of peace, the people of peace, are the believers. But so then why are they to stay in the house? This is a foreshadowing of the office of the ministry, I think. They are to remain in one congregation with one flock. Pastors have to serve multiple congregations. It's certainly permissible as like a writer, but it is less than ideal for any number of reasons. Let's see. Of course, we're talking about houses. To what might we compare the house? We compare the house to the church, right? So we have preachers and church and the gospel and remaining there. And how are preachers to be treated? Remember, they come with neither purse, bag, nor sandals. How are they to be treated? They are to receive their food and drink and such things as they give because a labor is worthy of their wages. Eat such things as are set before you, right? What are they to do for the flock then? It's the next bit there. You see verse 9, to heal the sick, right? And what are they to preach? Keep going, that the kingdom of God has come near to you. Also verse 9. What is the kingdom of God? I always have to define this. It's very helpful. Well, not just helpful, but essential that we define it. The kingdom of God is Jesus. Where the king is, there is the kingdom, right? So he is coming after them to receive the kingship in his death and resurrection, and then to bestow the forgiveness of sins upon his royal subjects, right? He's the kingdom. It's the true Jerusalem, the place of peace, right? What were they to do if they were not received by the household? Yeah, to wipe the dust off their feet and declare that the kingdom had come near them. And then what word of judgment does Jesus speak upon such cities? This is really remarkable, isn't it? Be more tolerable in the judgment for Sodom than for that city. Why do you think he warned Chorazin and Bethsaida in particular? Do you know anything about those cities? Well, you get a hint of it here based off of what Jesus says, right? That they are those who ought to receive the testimony of Jesus, right? That both in word and deed. But they reject him. And yet Jesus says if he had gone and preached in like manner and done a similar miracle in the pagan cities of Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented a long time ago and sat in sackcloth and ashes. Think of Jonah going to Nineveh, right? And of course, what will happen in particular to Capernaum for rejecting the preaching of Jesus? She will be thrust down to Hades. Then here, we've seen this a couple times here. We saw it back in chapter 9, now chapter 10. Some of the sayings that are collected together in John's gospel in the Upper Room discourse are spread throughout Luke's gospel. In particular, this statement, right? He who hears you hears me, and he who rejects you rejects me, and he who rejects me rejects him who sent me. Sounds like John 17, right? What does he mean? Again, this is now put in the context of the sending of the 70. Perhaps he said it in both places, right? When people heard the preaching of the kingdom of God from the 70, they were hearing the preaching of Jesus himself. And when they rejected the preaching of the 70, they're rejecting Jesus. And also then the Father who sent him. Right? These words still are true for us today. I think the 70 does teach us something of the office of the holy ministry, right? And that same promise Jesus attaches to preaching. So when you hear your pastor preach according to the word of God, you're hearing the word of Jesus, right? When you hear Jesus, you're receiving the gift of the Father. All right, so let's summarize it. Jesus continues to send out preachers of the gospel for his church on earth. It is always true that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Here we must first hear the promise of Christ that the harvest is truly plentiful. The harvest does not rely upon the efforts of men, but is accomplished through the power of the gospel. It is in this confidence that the church sends out workers, that is, those who preach the gospel to the ends of the earth. Though workers have always been few and continue to be few, the harvest has continued as Christ has drawn many into the church through the gospel. The workers are told to go out, trusting in the promise of this plentiful harvest in the face of all opposition. More workers does not mean a greater harvest, but the church always prays that there may be those few who continue to be the workers proclaiming the gospel and administering the sacraments among us. The preacher of the gospel is still sent out as a lamb among wolves, for the world would love to devour Christ's worker. Congregations call pastors to serve in their house and give them wages to preach that life-saving gospel. Still today, the message of the kingdom of God is to be preached, calling men to repentance and establishing the rule of God in their hearts through the proclamation of the forgiveness of sins. All right. Our catechism this week is the sixth petition, and lead us not into temptation. What does this mean? God tempts no one. We pray in this petition that God would guard and keep us so that the devil, the world, and our sinful nature may not deceive us or mislead us into false belief, despair, and other great shame and vice. Although we are attacked by these things, we pray that we may finally overcome them and win the victory. Mm-hmm. I note that Luther, in his explanations to the petitions of the Lord's Prayer, actually, I think he forms these as prayers. You could almost say, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. All right. You could see how you might pray it separately here. All right, let's sing our hymn for this week, Entrust Your Days and Burdens. It's a hymn by Paul Gerhardt, but with a new tune for LSB. So it's worth us taking the time to learn it. We'll hold up there, and we'll pick up where we left off tomorrow. All right. Is there a commemoration today? I think there might be. Yes, there is. Today is a commemoration of Cyril of Alexandria. Cyril, circa AD 376 to 444, became Archbishop of Alexandria, Egypt, in 412. Throughout his career, he defended a number of Orthodox doctrines, among them the teaching that Mary, the mother of Jesus, is rightly called the truly is the mother of God, Theotokos, the God-bearer, as quoted in the Formula of Concord, Article 8, Epitome 8, Paragraph 12. In 431, the Council of Ephesus affirmed this teaching that the Son of Mary is also true God. The writings of Cyril on the doctrines of the Trinity and the person of Christ reveal him to be one of the most able theologians of his time. Cyril's Christology influenced subsequent church councils and was a primary source for Lutheran confessional writings. All right. Prayer collect for the week. O Lord, since you never fail to help and govern those whom you nurture in your steadfast fear and love, work in us a perpetual fear and love of your holy name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We pray today for faith to live in the promises of holy baptism, for all vocations and daily work, for the unemployed, for the salvation and well-being of our neighbors, for our schools, our homeschools, our colleges and seminaries, and for good government and peace. We pray in thanksgiving with Deborah and Autumn, Ruth, and Eugene, who all celebrate their birthday. We rejoice today with myself and Anne, who celebrate our wedding anniversary, although disconnected by place, as she is with Dorothy. We pray for the households of our church, especially this week with Deborah, Michael, Wayne and Mary, James and Elaine, Rolf and Linda, and James. Pray for those ill receiving treatment or recovering, especially Marcella, Bev, Kelsey, Dorothy, Amanda, Dan, Brad, and Janet, Timothy, Pastor Kretschmar, Merlin, and Jim, our homebound, Bev, Willis, Ed, Mickey, and Paul. Continue to pray for our mission of the month, Sheboygan Hispanic Ministry. Ask the Lord to give us generous hearts to support their work. We pray in intercession for the preservation and increase of gentleness. For all this, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger, and I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings and life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. All right, it's been a joy to have you with us here today for the Congregation of Prayer. You can join us again tomorrow morning as we'll continue to read through Luke's Gospel and be catechized by our Lord Jesus. So join us then at 9 a.m. See you then. We thank you for listening to this podcast from St. John Evangelical Lutheran Church, Sherman Center, in Random Lake, Wisconsin. If this podcast is of benefit to you, please consider supporting the work of St. John by visiting stjohnrandomlake.org, that's stjohnrandomlake.org/support, and give today.